Thank you, Bill. Good morning.
Almost good afternoon. Nah, just kidding. Just kidding.
Good morning. Bill does a great job, so I can't give him a hard time. He's given me extra time plenty. So anyway, it's a joy to be with you this morning. I did a little research to see if I could find you a marathon to run in, because I don't know if any of you get a marathon in this morning running. You get out in time to do 26.2? Probably not. You did, June. Okay, well, you're not a father, but hey, you know, we give you credit for running the race anyway. I did find this one. This was actually run yesterday out in California in Santa Clarita Valley, the Sugar Daddy Half Marathon. There was one marathon that I found today. And it was, I can't remember where it was, but it was in California too. Can't remember which, I believe it was Long Beach. So even though we don't have time to run a marathon, and it's looking like this sermon is not going to be able to be a marathon either, we're going to have to do a sprint here, maybe a 100-meter dash, but we are going to be talking about a marathon, not that marathon, but a marathon for fathers. It's a marathon that I'm calling the Fathering Marathon, the Fathering Marathon. You know, as dads, and it was really interesting, it would have been another thing, of course, Bill, it would have taken more time, so I wouldn't ask him to do this, but if we could have found out the age range of the children. You know, there are some dads up here that got a lot of experience. I mean, some of them are great-grandfathers, so you know they've got a lot of years under their belt as dads, but I hope that all of us as fathers know that we don't know everything yet. Right? And we're not going to this side of heaven. We're always learning. We always should be learning. And I want to continue to learn as a father. And years ago, a friend of mine who I was working with at the time, he told me, you know, you can learn from every example. From a good example, what to do. From a bad example, what not to do. And so this morning, we're going to look at a man, a father, who was, I believe, both a good and a bad example. His name was Solomon. Now Solomon, we find from the scriptures, anyway, had at least one son. His son's name was Rehoboam, and Rehoboam succeeded him as king of the United Nation of Israel. It was under Rehoboam's reign that the nation was divided, but really that was because of Solomon and some of the things that we're going to see this morning about him. We also find out in 1 Kings chapter 4 that Solomon had at least two daughters, Topheth and Bozmath, if I'm pronouncing those anywhere near correctly. But this Father's Day, what I'd like for us to do, and he may have had many other children, we don't know, but we know he had at least those three. And so this Father's Day, what I'd like for us to do is briefly reflect on the three Old Testament books that Solomon authored. And I'd like for us to glean from them a challenge for every father and potential father here this morning. No matter how far along we may be in this fathering marathon, and we call it that because that's what I really want to bring out today, is that really the fathering marathon begins before you ever have children. And it goes on throughout your whole life as long as you have any children who are living. So we're going to look this morning at three stages along the fathering marathon. And we're going to start out in the Song of Solomon. So if you would turn there, we're not going to be expounding these books. We're going to look at the Song of Solomon. We're going to look at the book of Proverbs. And we're going to look at the book of Ecclesiastes, all in 19 minutes. Aren't you looking forward to this? Say, Mark, you can't get through one verse in 45 minutes. How are you going to do this? So we'll see what the Lord does. And if he keeps you here till 1 o'clock, then I'll say it was a miracle. But I'm not expecting that, okay? Not expecting that miracle, but I would like to see the Lord work this morning. So we're going to start out with the stage. I'm calling it a future father. So here we have the Song of Solomon broken down into eight chapters in our English Bible. It's a love song. We read in 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 32 that Solomon wrote 1,005 songs, and this one he called the Song of Songs. Of all the 1,005 he wrote, he said, this is the one that I put at the very top. And it seems that Solomon either wrote this as a young man or wrote this looking back to when he was a young man, presumably before he was married and before he became a father. He was a future father at that time. You know, his father David was not a perfect man or a perfect father by any stretch of the imagination, but he was a man who sought to raise his son to know God. He recognized, we read in 1 Chronicles 22:5, that Solomon, even at that time, was young and inexperienced, but he was seeking to have his son come along and to know the God of his father and to serve the God of his father with a loyal heart and a willing mind. 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9. We want to think here about getting off to a good start. You know, there's some in this room that didn't come up front. You're male, but you didn't come up front because you don't have any children. Some of you may be too old to father a children, you to father a child. You may never have any children. Others of you, though, one day you may be a father. You're what I would call a future father. And what I found interesting looking at the Song of Solomon was to consider some of what we might call pre-fathering characteristics that can be beneficial once we are fathers if properly applied. You know, I think that as we look at the Song of Solomon, and there are different interpretations and applications of this book, and we're not going to go into that this morning, maybe in a future time, but it's definitely a love song. And so as we see Solomon writing about this man, this young man who is desiring to be married to this young lady, I think we see some attributes that he brings out, shows in the main character of the book, that if we think about these, even in this context of a courtship, of a desire to win the allegiance and the love of a young lady, I think that some of the things that we put into practice, men, in that part of our lives are characteristics which also can be very beneficial to us as fathers, though we may use them in a different way once we are fathers. And for those of us who already are fathers, as I look at this list of characteristics, I'm reminded that it's very helpful to periodically, as a dad, to re-examine myself to see if I'm allowing the Lord to continue these qualities, first of all, in my relationship with my wife, and secondly, properly applied in my relationship with my children. So we're going to start, we're going to call these carryover characteristics, and we're not going to have time to read all the verses, but I will put the references up here and read a few of them. But these are characteristics that Solomon, in this song, as a young man, characteristics he exalted, and they're characteristics that I think you as future fathers, as you see the value of developing these things, not only in the relationship you may have with a young lady, not only with your wife, but also in the proper context with your children, I think that it'll be beneficial to you. And the rest of us, we can re-examine. So very quickly, look at chapter 2 and verse 2. Here is the one referred to as the beloved. He is the main male character in this story, as most interpret it. And it says there, he's speaking of this woman, and he says, like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. What I see here is an awareness. He's not speaking to the woman at this point, but he is aware. He is noticing certain things about her. And you know what, guys? When we are seeking to win the love of a young lady, we usually notice things about her. We're watching her. We're observing her. We're learning her. We're noticing. We're aware of things about her. You know, that is important, isn't it, with our children? That we're aware of our children, where they are in their development, what they are dealing with, what kind of struggles they're going through, what kind of character it seems that is being developed in them. And then there's affirmation. And I'm gonna briefly apologize because I'm gonna rush through these things. I would have had to rush through them anyway, but even more so. But I'm gonna make that apology, and then we're gonna rush. So the second thing is affirmation. All throughout the Song of Solomon, not only does Solomon notice things about this woman, he affirms this woman by telling her what he sees about her. Now, I might blush if I read all of this morning, not just because I'm going over time, but because he's quite descriptive. So you future fathers, don't be reading the Song of Solomon while I'm trying to preach, okay? You read that later. But he was affirming. He told this woman, here's how I see you, and this is what I love about you, and this is what attracts you to me. You know, we can do the same thing with our children, can't we? Shouldn't we? To strengthen them by telling them, you know, son, I see this characteristic in you. And I appreciate that. And you know, my daughter, you know, I've been watching you and I'm aware of this. And I want to let you know how much I'm thankful to God for this particular attribute in your life. And then there's attention. Chapter 2 and verse 14, if you want to look there quickly. Oh, my dove, he says to this woman, oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the cliff, let me see your face. Let me see your face. I want to be with you, and I want to look at you. And I want to not only look at you, look at me, I want to look at you. I want to give you my attention. You know, our children, they are starving for our attentions, Dad. They are starving for us. They want us to spend time looking at them and listening to them and hearing what they have to say. And then there's affection. And obviously, we know that's going to be true among a relationship of a man with his wife, but also with our children. Some of us, obviously, are more affectionate physically than others, and that's very natural, and we've talked about that even in recent weeks as we thought about loving one another as fellow believers and expressing that. But our children can benefit so much from a hug, so much from a touch. It means so much to them, more than we will realize. Also, assertiveness is another characteristic that we often have with that young woman. We pursue time together. Notice again in chapter 2, look at verse 10. She says, my beloved spoke, and he said to me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. What was he saying? I want to spend time with you, dear. Do our children know that we want to spend time with them? Are we investing that valuable commodity that sometimes is more difficult to let go of than money, and it's time? Are we investing that in our children? And then lastly, association. That friendship. In chapter 5 and verse 16, she speaks of this man who's pursuing her as her friend. You know, and I know we have to be careful about how we seek to be buddies with our children when we're raising them. They have to see the authority that we have, but they also need that friendship. And you know what? When we develop that friendship when they're young, then that friendship often will carry over to when we're older, and we will appreciate it even more then. So those are some carryover characteristics, and we'll just summarize this little section in this way. The characteristics that a future father should develop now are attributes that every father should display now. So this was particularly to the future fathers, you ones who aren't fathers yet. Some of the things that you need to be looking at, I need to develop this now in my mind and in my heart, that when I have children, I will be able to invest these characteristics in them. But those of us who are dads, that these are some things that we should be seeking to invest in our children in an ongoing way. So a future father. Secondly, a fervent father. Go over to the book of Proverbs. Turn back two books, Solomon's books are right here all together, all three of them, not in the order we're looking at them. But here in the book of Proverbs, we find him in the middle of the race, or in the heat of the race, we might say. In the heat of the race, this word fervent carries the idea of warmth, enthusiasm, heat. And, of course, the book of Proverbs, we've been studying some on Sunday nights. We'll be in it tonight. You know, Proverbs is a compilation of wise sayings that aid in making good choices in life. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, where we read that Solomon wrote 1,005 songs, we read that he wrote 3,000 proverbs. Many of them are collected in this book. And Solomon, when we see him, we don't see a lot in the narrative of Solomon and his children. We see hardly anything, just the fact that he had children. But when we read the book of Proverbs, you know, 22 times in the book of Proverbs, you'll hear these two words together, my son, my son, my son. Now, these things could be practical for his daughters as well, but we see that he was writing particularly to his son. And it's interesting, Psalm 127 is called a Psalm of Solomon. Let me read it to you really quickly. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Some would say that this was written for Solomon. Others, I would tend to say it was written by Solomon. Solomon was, in some sense, a family man. And when you read the book of Proverbs, you find him in the heat of the race. And you find him involved in actions in writing this book. Actions that we as dads can use to proactively ensure that we're consistent in our fathering. And these are actions that we need to make sure are being consistent in our father. We're going to have to go through them again very quickly. Eight of them. First of all, we see him instructing. Instructing. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. He's teaching his son. In verse 10, he's commanding his son. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. He's giving him a direct command. We also find him in this book encouraging. Just as we studied recently about encouraging one another. He exhorts his son. He urges his son. He motivates his son. Chapter 2, my son, if you receive my words, and then you can go down to verse 5, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Son, I want to encourage you. I want to urge you on in following God. I want you to be a wise man. As we've already heard this morning in some of Bill's readings, disciplining. We find him disciplining. In chapter 3 and verse 12, we read that for whom the Lord loves, he corrects just as a father. The son in whom he delights. Son, I delight in you. That's why I'm disciplining you. And then we see him transferring. In chapter 4, we find Solomon telling this to his son. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. He took what his dad had taught him and he passed that down to his own children. We find him warning in chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. And these are just illustrations. You can go all through the book and find so many things that will fit into these categories. He warns about the immoral woman. We find him questioning his son. For why should you, my son, be enraptured by an immoral woman? He asks questions of his son. We can use that. And then we find him directing. chapter 6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Just some of the actions that we see in Solomon's life. We find them in action in this book. He is writing this to his son. He is implementing these actions in his own life at this time in the heat of the race. He was raising his children at this time. And we see him proactively ensuring that these are consistently included in his fathering. We might want to think about it in this way. Father is not just a noun. It is a noun. You're a father. But father is a verb. See, fervent action is a key. How do I father my children as a father? It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of investment. But it's worth it to be a fervent father. That was Solomon. In the heat of the race, he was in there working. He was investing in his children. But that brings us to the last point, and really the one that I wanted to emphasize because it's the one that's most relevant to me right now. So I guess it's striking my heart. And I think it's the stage in which many of us here this morning are in. It's what I call the further father. And go over to the book of Ecclesiastes. After Proverbs, before the Song of Solomon, we find a book that appears to have been written by Solomon late in his life. It's his summary of his own personal investigation into the meaning and purpose of life, a view as he has it repeatedly in this book from under the sun. It's a human perspective. It's a sad home stretch, a very sad home stretch for Solomon. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 11 some things about him, and I want to ask you to turn there. But we read in 1 Kings 11 that King Solomon loved many foreign women. And we read that God had warned the people of Israel, "You shall not intermarry with these people, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. And in 1 Kings 11, in verse 4, it says, "For it was so, when Solomon was old, that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God." A sad home stretch. And this is what I fear in my life, that I would not finish well. I can do nothing about my life when I was a future father. I cannot go back to the time when my children were in my home and I sought to be, sometimes succeeding, sometimes failing, to be a fervent father. But I want to be a further father. I want to keep going. I want to be in for the long run. You see, brothers, just because your children are out of your empty nest doesn't mean that your fathering duties are over. Not at all. Truly, they're very different. Very different from what our fathering responsibilities were when we were fervent fathers. But we still have responsibilities. And it's so important to finish well. I wonder what Rehoboam learned from watching his father. He heard the Proverbs. Maybe he heard the stories of how his father had passionately pursued his mother. And maybe he had heard all of these wise sayings that had been given to him through this book. But I wonder if Rehoboam could have said that oft-mentioned quote, "What you do is so loud that I can't hear what you say." Brothers, the example of older dads to their children is so vital. You see, what I'm doing now will impact my children. It will impact my sons as they raise their own children. It will impact my daughter as she one day may have children and seek to raise them for the Lord. What does how I'm living now impact my children's view of what I taught them when I was raising them? What is how I'm living my life now and how I will live my life in the future? How will that impact my children's view of what is truly important in life? And what our true resources are for living a life for the Lord Jesus? What do they see? What will they see? What did Rehoboam and his sisters see in the life of Solomon? A man who told them all the right things. A man whose wisdom, we read, was exalted among all of the rulers of the East and all of the wisdom of Egypt. A man whom God had said, "Ask anything you want and I'll give it to you." And he said, "Lord, I need wisdom to judge your people. I need understanding." He recognized in humility. But as his life went on, we find that he became unraveled. That's what I'm going to just mention really quickly here. Some of the ways that Solomon became unraveled. Here's some of the unraveling, brothers, that we need to beware. Whether we're future fathers, fervent fathers, or further fathers, we need to beware the tendency to become uncommitted. Solomon, we find, was not loyal to God. He lost that commitment, not only to God, but to his wife. And he married many foreign women against the plan and purpose of God. He was uncommitted. We find that he became undisciplined. The man did not exercise self-control. He told his son in the book of Proverbs, "Guard your heart, guard your eyes, guard your step." And then he let down his own guard. Brothers, we've got to be on guard. We've got to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit of God, not in our own flesh. He became unbelieving. At one time, it seemed that Solomon trusted God, but now it seemed he came to that point in his life he didn't trust God anymore. He began to question what life was about. He began to invest his efforts at finding meaning and purpose in pleasure, in possessions, in projects. He said, "It's all empty. It's all empty." Brothers, we need to beware unraveling to the point where we're unwise. This man did not even apply his own wisdom in his own life. What he told his son to do, his son, I'm sure, was watching. Watching as he went and married all these women against the word of God. As he did things that he warned his son not to do. Unguarded. Again, tying in with that thought of not exercising self-control. Brothers, we need to be careful. That computer, that phone, you get older, there's still a desire to look at things you shouldn't look at, isn't it? We struggle with that. We need to be on guard. You see, Satan is busy. Our flesh is still active. This world is getting more and more against us. We've got to be on guard. We can't become unguarded. That's what Solomon did. He became unhealthy in his relationships. Obviously unhealthy in his relationship with his wife. If that was his wife, his first wife possibly, that he was pursuing in the Song of Solomon, if that's what was occurring, he was not faithful to that woman. And you might say, "Well, I'm not going to go marry other women." But you know, there are other things that can come between us and our wives. And it can be other women. Unhealthy relationships he had with other women that were not his wife. And then unhealthy relationships with men. He should have had men in his life. He should have had other dads in his life who could help hold him accountable and challenge him and encourage him. But he didn't want that, did he? No, he was the king. He didn't want to have to listen to anybody. He knew it all. I wonder sometimes, we don't have time to go deeply into it, how in the world did Solomon become the fool of his own proverbs? How did he go from being the wisest man to foolishly failing to finish well as a man and a father? You know, brothers, praise God. It's not that God can't or won't forgive. He will. He will. And you may be here this morning, you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And you might say, man, I've really messed up. I've messed up my whole life and I can't do anything. I can't go back. God will forgive and God can redeem and God can heal. And maybe you're a dad here that has believed on the Lord Jesus, but you look back with regret. I have regret in my life as a father. Things that I wish I'd have done differently. Things I wish I hadn't have done. You know, God will forgive, God will redeem, God will heal. But you know, some of the things that are done, and we have to acknowledge that and trust God to give us help to deal with it. But if we haven't, if you're a future father, learn. If you're a fervent father, keep investing. But don't forget the furthering that's coming. And us who are in that, may we be wise. You know, finishing well as a father is as important for your children as it is for you. It's important for you, Dad. It's important for me. I want to finish well. But not just for me. Because if I don't finish well, that's going to impact my children. Praise God, He will forgive. Praise God, He will heal. Praise God, He will redeem. But don't put the Lord your God to the test. Don't let down your guard and say, well, hey, if I mess up, God will fix it all. Doesn't always work like that. Doesn't always work like that. The fathering marathon. Future fathers, get off to a good start. I want to encourage you to do that. A fervent father, some of you raising kids right now, stay active in the heat of the race. You know, sometimes in the heat of the race, you get a little weary. And you begin to lose some enthusiasm of those early days because it starts wearing on you. And man, these kids are burdens. You know, keep going. Keep looking to the Lord. Keep relying on His grace. Keep allowing Him to enable you. Keep in the Word of God and allow Him to challenge you. And you further fathers, never stop investing in the lives of your children. Don't do it. You know, God is a wonderful Father. We've thought about that this morning too. You know, He loves us. God has given His own Son for us. If you've never believed on the Lord Jesus as your Savior, the Bible says we're all sinners and we're all guilty. And you know what? If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, He's not your Father. God's not your Father. Only those who were born into His family by faith, the Lord Jesus died for all of our sins. And He was raised again that all of us could be made right before Him. But unless we believe on the Lord Jesus and trust Him alone as our Savior, then our sins are still our own. And we're separated from God and we will be for all eternity. That's where the real fathering starts. And I challenge you with that. But just meditate on this. It's late, brother. We won't do a hymn this morning. We won't do a verse. We'll just be dismissed. Once I close in prayer. But brothers, just meditate. You know where you are in this. All of us are at one stage or another here. And I trust that even if you're not a dad, that this can be helpful for you. So let's close in prayer. Father, we give You thanks this morning. We praise You, Lord, this afternoon. We recognize that. Lord, thank You for the graciousness of these folks and the patience and that we could celebrate fatherhood this morning. And Father, thank You for the challenge. We look at Solomon. Lord, a good example, but then a bad example. Help us to learn. Father, thank You for Your grace. Thank You that You don't expect us to do this in our own strength. You have given us Your Holy Spirit. You have given us the ability to do things that we cannot ask or even imagine could be done. Father, You can use us in the lives of our children. Father, please do that. Father, these future fathers, help them to develop now the characteristics that will be beneficial to them as dads later. Father, lift up these fervent fathers that are right in the middle of it right now. Strengthen them, Lord. Help them in their discouragement. Help them in their weariness. And Father, those of us who now are in the latter stages, may we be faithful. May we not turn aside. Father, may we be loyal to You, our Heavenly Father. Thank You so much. We love You and pray in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Happy Father's Day. Happy fathering.